Hey there, and welcome back for another Behind the Line podcast. I'm Susan Rogers. My co-host Ryan Kelly is out on assignment. He's been working nonstop on a case you won't want to miss. Throughout our podcast, we bring you cases that have remained unsolved in the hopes that you, our listeners, can become active participants in helping to close these cold cases we present to you. Okay, so let's kick this off with not one, but two cases from the early 1990s. This might be a good time to say that we're talking about some sensitive details of a criminal case centering on a violent crime. Please bear that in mind if you might be triggered in any way. As with all our unsolved cases, there will be some details that we won't be able to give to you since the investigation is still open on the cold case. When we receive fresh tips as a result of our podcast episodes, these details we withhold from you could help us in verifying the validity of the information given to us. Okay, so let's get started with the Mary Kathleen Rodriguez case. Kathleen, as she was known to her family and friends, grew up in Pampa, Texas. From a young age, Kathleen had a love for children and babysat many who still remember her very fondly. We spoke with Kathleen's mother, Ellen Rodriguez.
She grew up here in Pampa. She was my firstborn, and she went to Lamar School. And she was a very, very sensitive child, and she liked to be around kids. And as she got older, she liked to cook. She could make the best biscuits you ever ate, and she liked to make French fries and just regular teenager.
Macy Alexandra was one of those kids with such loving memories of Kathleen. She was 7 or 8 years old when she first met Kathleen.
Kathleen used to babysit for part of my family, and that's how I come to know her. She was so fun. There was never a dull moment. She was always full of laughs and giggles. It didn't matter which child it was, because she babysat quite a few kids. And somehow she managed to do it all, but she related to every kid that she was with. I'm really honestly, as an adult, now that I think back, I'm not sure how she managed to do all of that at the same time, but she did. She loved rock and roll music, and we spent a lot of time listening to music, and she taught all of us all the lyrics, the Bon Jovi songs. That was her guy. She just never wore down. She truly enjoyed being with us.
Kathleen babysat her throughout her preteen years, and like most preteens, she loved makeup and hairstyles.
I loved her hair, but she always used the Aussie grape-smelling hairspray, and a lot of it, because back then, it was the big hair and lots of hairspray, and I'll remember that.
Kathleen adored the kids left in her charge, often putting their wants before hers.
So when she would get paid, that was the 7-Eleven candy day. We all got to go, no matter how many of us there were, we got to go get Slurpees and 2 candies each, and she would get a Dr. Pepper for herself.
Kathleen left Pampa with a family that lived next door to come to Midland and be a live-in nanny.
I was probably about 18 years old, and she left with the lady that lived next door. And that lady's name was Terry, and her husband's name was Billy, and she had 2 little boys.
Harry Williams is a neighbor she moved to Midland with in 1985. When we spoke to Terry, she said Kathleen babysat her 2 sons while they were neighbors in Pampa. When her 3rd son came along, the family was preparing to move to Midland, and they asked Kathleen to come along and be a live-in nanny. Terry said Kathleen was part of their family. She loved the boys, and they loved her. Terry's middle son, Jeff, remembers Kathleen well. Kathleen had been in his life since he was about 18 months old, and Jeff described her as his rock and that he still thinks of her often. A few years later, Terry filed for divorce, and Kathleen became the nanny for another family who eventually moved to Odessa. It is unknown how long Kathleen was with that family before she moved out on her own. She got a job at the Cactus Grocery Store in West Odessa, where she was very well liked by customers. On December 30th, 1990, in a residence in the 1000 block of Clendenin Street in Odessa, Texas, Kathleen was found brutally murdered. She was 26 years old at the time of her death. Okay, so right from the start, I know you're wondering, what does in a residence mean? So it was not her house, but rather a house in which she lived with another family. She moved in with this new family around Thanksgiving after having issues with her previous landlord. The family often used her as a live-in babysitter for their children, 2 young girls. During the Christmas holiday that year, a friend invited Kathleen to spend a few days at her house, which she did. But according to her friend, Kathleen got sick and went back to her home on December 26th. The afternoon of December 28, 1990 would be the last time Kathleen was seen alive. Kathleen's movements from December 26th until the 28th are unknown. Investigators believe she was at home recuperating from being sick. According to the family she lived with, when they left for Sweetwater, Texas at about 3 o'clock in the afternoon on December 28th, Kathleen was at home, possibly making them the last ones to see Kathleen alive. On December 30th, 1990, Ector County Sheriff's Department was called after Kathleen was found dead in the middle bedroom of the home. Kathleen had been dating a man we'll call Steve for about 9 months. According to friends, they were crazy about each other, although the relationship was a bit complicated. Friends became concerned when they had not heard from Kathleen for several days, as did Steve. Steve went by the house several times and could not get anyone to answer the door. Kathleen did not have a driver's license or a vehicle, so naturally Steve became concerned. After several attempts to get her to answer the door, Steve walked around the house, looked in a window, and saw what he thought was Kathleen's bloody body in a bedroom. He left and contacted the sheriff's office.
We were in Arkansas at the time, and the police came and told us, and I told them, "You're crazy. Get out of here." I said, because I had just spoken to her the week before.
It was later determined through autopsy that Kathleen had died from several blows to her head and face. And make no mistake, these blows to her face and head weren't closed injuries. This was a bloody and gruesome crime scene because of a murder that was thought to have taken place between December 28th and the 30th. According to autopsy records, Kathleen's attacker appeared to have used a blunt object. Something that was reported at the time of Kathleen's murder was that the Ector County deputies believed Kathleen may have known her attacker because the home showed no signs of forced entry. After many interviews and a thorough investigation, investigators apparently hit a dead end and the case began to turn cold.
Just wish she'd been here to see our granddaughter, and she is named after Kathleen. Her name is Elizabeth Kathleen. Very sweet little girl.
Very little research material is available on Kathleen's case. However, we did find an article in the Odessa American dated January 9, 1991, where then Ector County District Attorney Gary Garrison confirmed that law enforcement officers were investigating a possible connection between the Rodriguez case and another Odessa death that happened 2.5 months before Kathleen's murder. So we took a look at the case Garrison was referring to. Hang on tight, because this case will knock you for a loop. On September 7th, 1990, two kids got into a tussle, as kids do. The tussle was between two girls, when one girl ran into another girl while riding a bicycle, and soon after, they both went to their families to report what had happened. One of the girls went to her father, Eddie Bryant, to report that the other girl tried to run her over with her bike, while the other girl went to her dad, Paul Shaw, to report her own version of the story. The little girls lived within 3.5 miles of each other, so it did not take long for the parents to find each other in the front yard in between. The yard happened to belong to Paul Shaw's father-in-law, Paul Ryburn, and shortly after meeting there, the two little girls' fathers began to exchange heated words. Those heated words led to verbal altercation becoming physical, and it quickly escalated to a full-on fight. Multiple witnesses said that Paul Ryburn stepped in the middle of the fight between his son-in-law, Paul Shaw, and Eddie Bryant in an attempt to break up the fight. Paul Ryburn's wife, who witnessed the entire incident, said that she saw Eddie Bryant hit Paul Ryburn with his fists at least 10 times. At some point during the fight, Eddie Bryant managed to acquire a wooden 2x4 board from the yard and hit Paul Ryburn with it multiple times. Another witness, Casey Ryburn, Paul Ryburn's 17-year-old grandson, said of the altercation that both Eddie and his wife, Etta Bryant, hit Paul Ryburn with a 3-foot-long wooden board. As for where the board came from, it was allegedly kept under the gate to Paul Ryburn's yard in order to keep their small dog inside the yard, and at some point during the fight, Eddie Bryant got a hold of that board and reportedly severely beat Paul Ryburn with it. According to investigators, the beating caused major injuries to Paul Ryburn, but it also did something else. So Paul Ryburn was already at risk for some severe health consequences due to having major heart problems, and when he was severely beaten, his heart gave out, and Paul Ryburn suffered a major heart attack. And as a result, Paul Ryburn died that evening due to the heart attack that was seemingly caused by the grave injuries he sustained from the fight with Eddie and Etta Bryant. But wait, did he die as a result of the fight? Initially, that was thought to be the case, but the subsequent investigation led by the forensic pathologist claimed otherwise. Paul Ryburn's cause of death was declared to be a heart attack, but not from the fight itself, and as far as the forensic pathologist was concerned, case closed. Which unfortunately means that law enforcement stopped their investigation from going any further with that kind of natural cause death declaration. At least for the time being, because the very same forensic pathologist that conducted Paul Ryburn's autopsy, let's just name that forensic pathologist since his name is going down in infamy anyway, Ralph Erdman. Yes, Ralph Erdman, who originally ruled that Paul Ryburn died of natural causes, i.e. a heart attack, eventually found himself in hot water after being charged with 7 felonies of faking autopsies in 3 counties. That's a whole nother story in itself. And although this was a grave dereliction of duty, and many, many loved ones suffered as a result of Erdman's autopsies, the good news is that because of this bombshell revelation, Paul Ryburn's case was reopened in 1993, and the Ector County District Attorney's Office began to investigate the cause of his death again. Ector County's new medical examiner, Sparks Vesey, and Linda Norton, a visiting pathologist from Dallas, exhumed Paul Ryburn's body, which had been buried for almost 3 years. The medical professionals then conducted the second autopsy. And the results? Paul Ryburn's cause of death was declared to be blunt force trauma to the chest, which caused Paul's heart attack. But the biggest bombshell? The medical examiner ruled the manner of death a homicide. And just like that, Eddie and Etta Bryant were now wanted for the murder of Paul Ryburn. In Eddie and Etta Bryant's indictment, they were accused of murdering Paul Ryburn by hitting and punching and beating with their hands and fist, and by slamming and crushing the chest of Paul Ryburn. And the whole case was sent off to court for what appeared to be a cut-and-dry murder trial. Eddie Bryant was indicted on a murder charge, but the jury ultimately found that Eddie did not murder Paul Ryburn. They instead found him guilty of assault causing bodily injury, which is a Class A misdemeanor, and his sentence, 6 months probation. As for Etta, her charges were dropped. So you have to be wondering, what was the connection between Kathleen's murder and Paul Ryburn's case? Kathleen was murdered in a savage attack from blunt force trauma in the home of Eddie and Etta Bryant. And so, as we wrap up this cold case episode, we leave you with Mary Kathleen Rodriguez's murder case in hopes that by working hand-in-hand with our community, that someone will come forward and share what they might know about this case.
I just think that, you know, if somebody could come forward to give her some justice and her mom and all of her family, that's the only thing I think that's going to bring anybody any peace. Because whatever caused somebody to do this to her, she didn't deserve that. She didn't deserve it at all.
If you have any information at all that could lead to the long-deserved justice for Kathleen Rodriguez and her loved ones, we would love to hear from you. We'll see you in the next episode.